Welcome back to Midday. I'm Carla Hayden. If you've taken a stroll around Baltimore at night recently, you might have noticed a bright new addition to your neighborhood walk. These fluorescent islands on otherwise dim blocks are impossible to miss, and I'm talking about smoke shops. Their distinctive LED-rimmed windows have been the source of complaints for neighbors. There is confusion about what they contain. And now city officials are concerned about sales to young people and the illegal sale of the drugs inside. And as you might have noticed, more and more are opening in Baltimore. In fact, a recent report from the Baltimore City Health Department found the city has over 1,200 licensed tobacco retailers. That's 15 smoke shops per square mile. And I'm excited to hear from Scott Marcioni. He's WYPR's health reporter, and he's covered this story. Because, Scott, welcome.
Yeah, great to be here, Carla.
I'm like many people, probably, who are wondering, what is a smoke shop? And how is it different from a dispensary? And if you could just take our listeners into a smoke shop.
Absolutely, sure. So you, like you said, may have seen these all around the city. There's 1,200 of them within the city right now. That's 15 per square mile. It's quite saturated market. And outside, there's a lot of LED lights. They say open, they say smoke shop, they say CBD. What these are not are marijuana dispensaries, first of all. They cannot sell legally marijuana. That's specifically something that's sanctioned by the state, that needs to be regulated by the state. And these smoke shops purely focus on tobacco products. Now, what's made them probably more famous and more proliferating again is that there has been a huge influx of vaping, these electronic cigarettes. And there's a plethora of different types of vaping products that you can possibly buy, which is when you walk into these smoke shops, you're going to see a long line of different types of vapes, different styles, different flavors. And along with that, you may see something like a bong, a water pipe, which are, as they say, is for tobacco use, blunts, rolling papers.
Oh my,
different types of cigarettes. And then, of course, they'll also have sodas and things like that as well. But picture a bodega in New York City, but instead of having food or anything like that, everything is just behind a glass container or glass wall or behind a counter, and it's just lots of different vapes, lots of different tobacco products, and that's all it is.
And you mentioned candy or sodas, or are there other products that people might want to accompany their
There may be. I mean, you may see different things. They will also sell these CBD products, which are legal for the general public to sell. But mostly it's the tobacco stuff. You may see like one of those small little coolers with the sodas in them and stuff like that, convenience sales. But mostly they're focused on the tobacco sales. That's what they're there for.
That's quite illuminating, because I know that there are people like me who have wondered but felt a little intimidated about going in when you weren't going to purchase anything. You just wanted to be curious. And so with regulation, how does that work? Is there going to be regulation?
Well, the city council's looking into possible regulation right now, and there's quite a few different concerns. Apart from, then this is a separate piece of legislation, just the lights being extremely bright, which has bothered a lot of people in their neighborhood. The biggest concern about these smoke shops is, first of all, are they selling to underage kids? And, that's been a perpetual problem, perennial for years and years, decades. But outside of that, there's also many different substances that are either in pseudo-legal status or completely illegal status that they may be selling. You may have heard of Khartoum, which is a basically
no.
A,
no.
A, a type of opioid that has been used over the years. Kratom, I'm sorry, is the name of it, Kratom. But outside of Kratom, there are, you know, a handful of other Delta, K2, many other these other just sort of pseudo drugs, often that can have not been studied well, that have not been tested by the FDA or the CDC or anyone like that. And these drugs as well can lead to psychosis or other problems and don't have the same possible testing and rigor behind them as, let's say, the marijuana that you can buy from a dispensary legally from a sanctioned grower. And, you know, these companies may also, these smoke shops may also be selling this unregulated marijuana, which has not been tested. And that also can be a concern for people. So we've seen many children wanting to buy vapes. And then there's also the possibility of these different drugs getting into the market as well.
What about the regulation? That is it the Baltimore City Health Department? Is that a regulatory body? And how does that work?
Yeah, there's two different regulatory bodies that are in charge of this. One is the Baltimore Health Department. The second would just be the police for doing, you know, strictly illegal activity. If you're selling drugs, you know, that's going to be the police that are going to be taking care of that. The issue with this is that the Baltimore Health Department, they have 1,200 stores to, you know, to take care of. They have one part-time employee to take care of all these stores. In, I believe it was 2 years ago, they tried to hit at least 1,000 stores in terms of checking their compliance. They only got to slightly above 100 in that year. What's required by law is that the city check these stores twice for educational purposes. So they go in, remind them what the law is, remind them about the concerns and what they need to be doing. And then once for compliance in terms of you may send someone in to try and buy this drug, or you may surveil outside of it and see if a kid's going in and can buy these drugs, buy these vapes without, getting carded or something like that.
And you laughed because you saw my reaction when you said 1,200 and one part-time
That's right.
person for 1,200 entities?
Yes, yes.
That's why you laughed, because my mouth is still open. So you also did a report, too, that's probably a little frightening, that the number, it's not just the number, 1,200, but where they're located. And there was a report that you looked into. Mm-hmm. And what did that report find?
Well, where they are going are within mere feet of schools and opioid treatment centers, you know, people who are the most vulnerable to relapse into these sorts of issues or get addicted to these types of, you know, either tobacco use or possible, pseudo drugs or pseudo legal drugs. What the city's trying to do right now is to figure out a better way to regulate these companies. And right now, what they can only do is either issue these tickets through the Department of Health, which clearly is understaffed, or go through legal means. And the police do not have the ability to close down these shops. They can only fine them. So the city itself can't close any of these shops. If they do give them some sort of ticket, warning, tell them to stop doing things, many will close down, change their name, and just move the next block over and pop back up. So it's a little fires everywhere kind of situation that we're dealing with these. And that's why Zeke Cohen and Councilman Glover have put in this legislation to try to better regulate these smoke shops.
And what would the legislation do?
It'll create what's called a padlocking, which will possibly close them for a certain amount of days. And we've seen we've seen cities do this, like Washington, D.C., with illegal pot sellers. D.C. has a very different law where basically you can gift pot to different people. And it's been a very, very, very different situation down there.
My mouth keeps going.
I know.
Open. That's
a whole other
laughing.
Show in
I'm
itself.
I'm sorry, but it's just quite something.
So they would be able to close down these stores, hit them where it hurts, which is their pocketbook. And then eventually, if they're, you know, out of compliance long enough, then they would just close them completely and keep them from having a license to sell tobacco or sell whatever else they're selling. This just gives the city more teeth to fight back against what they're seeing as something that is proliferating the use of tobacco among kids. We have 1 in 3 children in, or sorry, high schoolers, I shouldn't say children, 1 in 3 high schoolers in Baltimore say that they have tried vape at some point. So this is not a small problem. This is hitting really everyone in the city.
And so the young people go into one of these shops and they don't have to show any identification?
Well, they're supposed to show identification. You know, you're supposed to be 21 in Baltimore to be able to buy. However, you know, Councilman Glover had stood outside one of those and took pictures of plenty of kids. And I myself talked to two women who are now 22, but got addicted to vape at 13 and started vaping because they could walk into their shop and started to know the store owner or would ask someone outside to buy the cigarettes or vapes for them.
You can get addicted to vaping.
Absolutely. It's got nicotine in it. That's really what is in it. And then outside of that, there's a lot of questions. Once again, not as regulated as many other things. There can be some pretty gross stuff in them that goes between different chemicals, much like cigarettes, to heavy metals and things that are not great for your body.
And especially for younger people who are still developing and growing, have there been any studies or things to document that type of damage possibly?
So the vape study right now is very low because it's a fairly new thing. We don't know how this affects people farther into their adulthood. However, we have seen increases in addiction. We've seen people getting things called popcorn lung, which is a disease that really harms your bodily systems and your respiratory body because of the vapes and the heavy metals that are inside. They're thinking that this may lead to cancer and be just as dangerous as cigarette smoking. So this is something that many people are concerned about. They're concerned about their children and not having the correct the development in their brain yet to decide if they truly want to use these drugs, and then getting addicted by the time they're adults.
Is there a corollary to adult usage of vaping? And
well, we do see a large amount of people vaping who are adults. And not only that, but we've seen many people who have tried to quit smoking move to vaping. And the issue with that is with smoking, you had to go outside and smoke a cigarette and then come back inside, at least now these days. With vapes, it's so much easier to conceal, which makes it so much harder, especially for schools, to crack down on these things. But, people are vaping inside. They can vape 24/7 if they want to. And so that nicotine fixation continues throughout the day and can sometimes go even higher than if you were smoking cigarettes 10 times or 20 times a day.
And the expense of purchasing the vaping materials, is it prohibitive?
It depends on how much you do it. You can get these smaller ones for maybe $30, and they can last quite a while. There are ones that are really heavy duty that run into the hundreds of dollars. There are ones that people can deck out their vapes with different sorts of ways that they can add add-ons to it and special sorts of things. There's different flavors. There's different colors. They light up. They flash. They do everything you can possibly think, except for be the kitchen sink.
And that's the attraction for a lot of younger people too.
There are rules to try and keep cartoons off of these and to not sell these really candy like flavors, but they still are mango cherry. It's something that's definitely appealing to a younger audience for sure.
Are there cities, you mentioned Washington D.C., so are there other cities or jurisdictions that have been successful with regulation? And
so D.C. has been the one that we've seen the most of, and that has been more of a crackdown on illegal marijuana use than the smoke shops. However, these rules are probably the best way for the city to do this, or at least the most tried way and proven to at least close down these shops. We haven't seen it as much in other cities. We saw New York City dealing with a lot of illegal marijuana selling from these smoke shops, and they are still having a lot of issues in trying to regulate that. So I think the jury's still out, and it's also a problem that's still emerging as these stores continue to grow and become more numerous throughout different cities.
And the dispensaries, do they sell some of the same types of material? Do they sell vaping things?
They do. So these dispensaries that you're talking about are state sanctioned. They are very strict about who can get inside, and you need to show your ID. They will scan your ID. If you have you can have a medical health card. Usually they're tied to, you have to get this license from the Cannabis Administration. They do sell vapes within those stores, but it's much harder to get inside, and they are only marijuana focused. Usually there are some CBD products, but it really depends. Their most main focus is THC and marijuana.
And they also have a different physical appearance.
Yes.
And presence.
Yes. Often not really any windows, not as many lights. They tend to be larger because they're keeping large amounts of marijuana in them and have safes and things like that, because there's so many people going through. Some have drive-throughs and delivery services and things like that. So it's a much different situation than how these smoke shops are, which are more, on the cuff kind of things.
Very much so. And Scott, you are really giving us insight into what we're seeing proliferate without many people knowing what's going on. They just see those big neon signs, and they see the dispensaries that look very different, and they're wondering what's going on in general.
Right. And it is important to note that not all of these are doing bad things. Some are legitimate businesses that are operating in selling things only to people who are 21 and over, who are feel like they want to use these products and do that. There are just other companies that are other ones that have not been following those rules or have been trying to sell these illegal drugs and make a side profit off of this.
My goodness, Scott, this is quite something to watch develop right before our eyes. We see them on the corners and we see them in neighborhoods. And are there states too that are trying to do more? You mentioned New York, but is that the city or the state?
Yeah, I think it's more the states that have been trying to crack down. I'm sorry, the cities that have been trying to crack down. The states themselves, it's just a much larger situation. And, you may not see it in your rural places as much, but they are there. But I think that it's really the foot traffic that's helping these smoke shops the most. People are walking by, and that's why having them near treatment centers and near schools in highly urbanized areas where there's a lot of foot traffic, a lot of stores that people are already walking to and from, that, they walk in and say, that looks interesting, I may try that, or be appealed to by these large, bright lights. Who knows? But those are the cities are the ones that seem to be seeing these more often.
And when you look at the health issues, the possible health issues, do you foresee more studies longer term?
Yeah, the Maryland does a youth risk study every year. Their most recent one recently came out, which is where I got that statistic about 1 in 3 student or 1 in 3 high schoolers who have at least tried vaping. We've seen lower amounts of that say that they are addicted or actually using, which is about 17% to 20%, depending on what demographic. But it's still a high amount, and it's still, not necessarily rivaling the peak amount of cigarette smokers when, maybe back in the 60s and 70s and things like that. The worry is the health of these kids and also the possibility of getting addicted. It's the mental health. If you're addicted to something at 16 and then you're still addicted at 40, you have a much different brain chemistry between those two ages in your life.
Thank you, Scott. Scott Maccioni.
Maccioni.
Maccioni,
you got it.
I got it. Is WIPR's health reporter, and he's covered this story, and he's giving us so much good information today. Thank you, Scott.
Thanks, Carla.
And stay with Midday, because on the other side of a quick break, could Maryland get a new state song? I'm Carla Hayden. Stay with us.
You're listening to 88.1 WYPR.